You're an early worm today, Miss Anne. But do come in. You simply couldn't wait, could you?
Forgive me that I am not my niece, and for disturbing you so early in the morning. All I wanted to know is how my brother's guest is faring, and whether there is anything he lacks.
Thanks to your brother, I don't lack a thing. Allow me to introduce myself, William Shakespeare, at your service.
We are cousins in name, parted merely by rank. Lord William Stanley. It's a pleasure, I'm sure.
And for me, an honor. What can I do for you?
Do for me? There's nothing you could. As for my brother, though, he is quite taken with you and the talent you refer to as theater.
He is a connoisseur of my art like no other in this town.
You're right about that. He positively lives for it, which is surely better than dying for something else. What's your opinion, William?
The art of the stage shall serve life at all times. Solely the art of warfare serves death, my lord.
Yet when it serves the purposes of honor and heritage, it is worth fighting for, isn't it?
I am not well versed in fighting.
Believe me, I do understand you. The naked drawn sword, that is not your remit, although words can be a far worse weapon.
The words I write serve a purpose unto themselves, and the story being told, they surely have no other intention.
Intended or not, watch your words, William, that the tongue which speaks them does not betray its holder.
I have naught to betray other than myself and my dreams.
Uncle William?
My dear niece, what a great pleasure to see you. You may gladly keep your dreams to yourself, as long as you keep my words in mind.
My thanks once again, my lord. I shall not forget them.
Master Shakespeare has time for you now. I wish you lots of fun with his fairy tales.
Fun that I shall have, Uncle William, though I don't need your wishes to do so.
Miss Anne, so nice that you've come, and that the graveness of life departs once more with your uncle.
I came as fast as I could. I didn't want to miss the story.
Without you, it has no chance to continue either. Where had we left off?
Where Juliet and Romeo were vowing their love before the altar.
How lovely 'twould be if things ended there, and it all took a turn for the best. But no sooner, the sun next day cooks emotions to a boil, and Tybalt seethes with rage because Romeo escapes. Self-styled guardian of Juliet's honor, he's bent on punishment. Seeing Romeo, he draws his sword, the brute. As for Romeo, he recognizes Juliet's cousin and would avoid a fight. Always one to stand by a friend, Mercutio draws his sword. Romeo rushes between them, merely wanting to part the two. Beneath Romeo's arm, Tybalt thrusts towards Mercutio. He stabs him mid-chest, a mortal wound, and Mercutio sinks to the pavement. Romeo is beside himself and deals a bloody blow that takes Tybalt's life. He flees with the blood of a friend and a cousin sticking to his hands.